Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Amen. You know, without the Holy Spirit getting together, it's just fellowship. I mean, fellowship is good, but when the Holy Spirit's here, things can change. Things can happen inside of us. And so we invite the Holy Spirit to be here with us. Glad that you are with us this morning. If you got an elbow bump from me this morning, that's because I'm trying not to spread. I've got a little cold, trying not to spread my germs. A few of you, I may shake your hand. David, I may shake your hand. But everybody else, I'm going to try not to pass this along. But glad that you're with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, if you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. I say that every Sunday, but I really mean it. I really mean it. And I think our church really means it, that we are glad that you're here and hope you feel loved by this group of God's people, but also that you do feel the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. We'd love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but there's a box you can check there. I am new to Wiley Methodist, and you can fill in your information. You can put your email there if you'd like to be on our email. We've got a Wiley Methodist app. We've got a Facebook page, all of that stuff that we try to kind of keep updated. At the end of the service, if you are new, it doesn't have to be your first Sunday. Perhaps you have visited with us before but have never registered and we've never met. I'd love to meet you. I'll be out in the foyer. I have a free gift for you. I'd love to meet you. Also, we've got the registration slips. Keep those things moving. Next, before we go into today's word, I want to take a quick second and mention next Sunday. I've never done this before. We've done lots of baptisms, but I usually, when we do baptisms, I wait for people to approach me and say, hey, I want to talk to you about accepting Christ, being baptized, and then we set that up. But next week, I'm going to preach on baptism. Actually, for the next two Sundays, I'm going to preach on the sacraments, which is baptism and Holy Communion. I'm going to be preaching on those. Next week will be baptism, and we're going to have the baptistry and our baptismal font full. We're going to be trusting that the Lord's going to convict some hearts. And if nobody comes forward, Billy's going to take a bath in it that afternoon. But I know it'll be 2 days early, but you can go ahead, Billy, and do that. Man, I don't know what's wrong with me this morning. So next week, Baptism Sunday, and I was asked this morning, what should we bring to wear if we're planning on doing that? If you want, I'll talk more about this next week, but we as United Methodists, we recognize different types of baptism. One of them is sprinkling and the other is immersion. If you are going to be sprinkled, the clothing is not optional. That's bad. I will talk about this next week. I have done a nude baptism, by the way. I will talk about that next week. That'll bring a few people here next week just to hear that story. Where was I? Okay, if you have a thought that you might want to be immersed, basically whatever you're wearing, you can just take things out of your pocket and just go for it. But if you want to dress more appropriately, you can wear shorts and a t-shirt or something, or bring those with you or something like that if you think that might be something you're planning to do. If you know ahead of time that you'd like to do that, let's talk. Let me know. Give me a heads up, but we'll also have some spontaneous decisions hopefully next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we are today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I actually was pointed out this morning, they said 14? Easter of 2014, I preached with 1 Corinthians 15, but it's going to be a little different today, the message, the way it'll be arranged today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Skipping over to verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. You promise us where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be there, and we trust you. You are good to your promises. So, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'm concluding the sermon series. We've been talking about the Apostles' Creed. We say that most every Sunday. We recite those things, and sometimes we something that we've memorized, like the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer, we just kind of say it, and we're not really thinking so much about what we're saying. So we've spent a few weeks here just kind of looking at that a little bit deeper. The series is called We Believe, and today's message is we believe in forgiveness, resurrection, and life. We believe in forgiveness, resurrection, and life. I'm just going to jump right in this morning. The first thing that we believe is that we, God's people, we are a broken people. Now, I want to start off by saying that, yes, we are created in the image of God. We're all created by God in his image, but sin came in and messed us up. We are a broken people. In this passage in 1 Corinthians 15 today that we're looking at, it says, by this gospel that we'll talk about in just a moment, by this gospel we're saved. Well, the idea of being saved means that we need to be saved. I mean, there's something wrong. We're needing to be saved. It indicates that we are needing to be saved from something. What is that something? Death. We're needing to be saved from death. I mean, if you go all the way back and you look in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, and he said, hey, you got the run of the place, you do whatever you want to do in this place, just don't eat of this fruit. But if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Sin will come into the picture, and you will die. Proverbs 14 says it this way: there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And I'm telling you, man, if that scripture is not being played out in our culture right now, we live in a culture where we're making decisions based on our feelings, what we think is right, what the latest polls say or whatever. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We are broken people. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. In other words, there is consequences for sin. It's death. There's separation from God. Now, if you've been in our church for a while, you've heard me talk about my shoulders. I haven't had told a shoulder story in quite a while, have I, Jody? Jody's going, yeah, we need a shoulder story. And some of you are going, no, I've heard about 100 of those. But I hurt my shoulders in playing football in high school, and there are people in this room who've seen what I'm fixing to describe to you. My shoulders come out of socket. It's pretty nasty, too. I mean, it's not fun at all. But if I turn just wrong or whatever, they will come out of socket. I've had about 4 surgeries on my shoulder, and I've just learned to live with the brokenness of my shoulders. I've learned how to put on a t-shirt and keep my shoulder in socket. I've learned how to take a shower and wash under my arms without my shoulder coming out of socket. I've learned how to change light bulbs without my shoulder coming out of socket. I've just learned to function in my brokenness. Is anybody getting the point yet? Don't we do that? Don't we do that in life? It's like, well, yeah, I know I really need to surrender that to God, but I don't want to give that up. I don't want to surrender that. I don't want to surrender that brokenness because it would mean a lot of changes. It'd mean I have to humble myself. I mean, there's all sorts of things. So we just kind of learn to function in our brokenness. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to just function in our brokenness. He wants to heal us. He wants us to be a redeemed people, and that leads me to my second point. Not only are we a broken people, but we believe we are a forgiven people. If we look at the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We believe that there's this redemption that comes. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, as he's launching his ministry, he doesn't want us to walk around as this wounded people. When he began his ministry, he said he had come to heal the brokenhearted. I mean, I see it all the time. I think there are, part of it is because the church we have done, and pastors, we have done a lousy job of conveying this God of grace and mercy. And we, so many people see God as this God who's sitting on high waiting for us to mess up so that he can zap us. Is anybody raised with that sort of a mindset about God? I talk to people all the time that were raised like that. God, no, Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. He's a merciful God. He wants us to be whole. This passage today, by this gospel, you are saved. There's something about this gospel message that saves us. And Paul says it this way, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. In other words, out of everything I've told you, this gospel that I'm conveying to you, this is the most important thing. What is this gospel? First of all, that verse 3, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. Y'all have heard me say this before, but as we were reciting the Apostles' Creed today and as we were singing that awesome song, We Believe, I believe in the resurrection. I believe that Jesus conquered death. We were saying those things. We're singing those things. And I've told you this before. I have a man that I know that's in a position of spiritual authority over youth. And this person he's a professing Christian, and he told me right to my face, I'm not sure that the crucifixion happened. I want that to sink in for a second. If the crucifixion didn't happen, we're all lost. We're lost. And I'm like, how do we, where have we gotten this idea that we can be a Christian and skip over the crucifixion? I mean, it's like, well, I'm what it is, and trying to be as fair as I can with this person, the gospel to them is about social justice and being, loving people and stuff, and those are good things. But I'm like, man, we are a forgiven people. We're a broken people and we're a forgiven people. And how are we forgiven? Because Jesus died on the cross to forgive us. And if we miss that, we miss everything. Paul says, I'm telling you this, I'm sharing this gospel with you of first importance. Forget everything else I've said, Paul says. This is of first importance. Christ died for your sins. And he goes on to say, he not only died for your sins, he was buried and he was raised on the third day. And so, if we don't believe in the crucifixion, there's probably a pretty good chance we don't believe in the resurrection. Because if there wasn't a dead Savior to resurrect, then there was no resurrection, right? It's the foundation of the gospel. Jesus loved us enough. He's in the garden. He knows. I'm going to preach this come Easter. He knows what's coming. He's told his disciples, here's what's coming. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be whipped and beaten, and I'm going to be killed, and on the third day I'm going to rise from the dead. He knows what's coming, and he's in the garden, and he's praying, and we know that prayer. Jesus says, Lord, take this cup from me. Father, take this cup from me. And my paraphrase of that is I think Jesus was saying, isn't there another way? Please, Father, isn't there another way? I don't want to be hung on a cross. Isn't there another way? But in the same breath, he comes back and he says, not my will, Father, but yours be done. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. Because he knows we were a broken people. He knows that sin creates death and we're separated from God. He hung on a cross for our sins. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. And Paul is saying, this trumps everything. Everything else that you're going to hear, everything else that I've taught you, everything else that you read, this trumps everything. This gospel message, it's of first importance. In church, if we don't get this, we're in trouble. And here, I'm going to take this a step further. If we do get it and we don't share it, we're in trouble. Hello, is this thing on? Arliss, you got me on? Okay. If we don't get it, we're in trouble. And if we get it and don't share it, we're in trouble. Because it's everything. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 tells. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We are a broken people, and because of Jesus, we're a forgiven people. We recite it every week. It's throughout God's Word. And finally, we believe we are a people with a future. This life is not the end. This life's not the end. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. I do, pastors, we do a lot of funerals. And I've said this before, but I can always tell the difference between a family that's grieving without faith and a family that's grieving with faith. It's just different, isn't it? Isn't it, Jim? I mean, when you've visited with those kinds of families, both, you just see it. I mean, it's blatantly obvious. And the difference is hope and no hope. I use this passage a lot out of 1 Thessalonians 4, and it says, basically, it says that we as believers in Christ, we grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. You know, it is when we say goodbye to someone in this life, no matter Christian or not Christian, it's hard. And there is grief. But when you have hope and you've seen, I've seen it in so many of your family members who I have done services for. I see the hope and I see the life that those people walked out their faith, and I see the hope that those families have. That hope comes from Jesus. We have a future. Now, I want to say this. We don't have to wait someday for eternal life. Hello, anybody listening? Eternal life starts right now. Soon as Christ is our Lord and Savior, we begin to live out our eternal life right then, at that moment. In this passage, I want to reread a couple of these verses here that we read today. If Christ has not been raised, and this is the no hope, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. And so I'm just telling you, if Christ really didn't go to the cross for my sins and for your sins, and if he really was not resurrected, my whole life is a waste. I'm just telling you. What I'm doing right now is a waste of time if that didn't happen. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. I mean, boy, listen to the hope right there, huh? Isn't that hopeful? Doesn't that bring you peace? But then he goes on to say, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. This is Paul. These are the words of Paul. He's indeed been raised from the dead, for as in Adam all die, so as in Christ all will be made alive. As Christians, death has no permanent hold on us. As Christians, death doesn't have the last word. Jesus Christ does. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. This is an older song that I want to play this song for you. I'm not sure, Lee, if you can pull it up right quick. I'm not sure if you saw it. I'll talk for a minute. I'll talk long. It's kind of, look on the notes there. You'll see it if you'll pull that up. But there's this song, it's Because He Lives, and it was written, somebody help me, the Gaithers. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote this. I think it was written like in the 70s or so. And George Beverly Shea, I don't know if you know George Beverly Shea, he was the singer for Billy Graham's Crusades for 40, 50 years, whatever it was. He is now gone to be with Jesus. George Beverly Shea and Michael Tate, who is a younger man now is with the Newsboys, they sing this song together, and it just captures, we believe in forgiveness, resurrection, and life, and we have hope. Lee, if you got that, go ahead and play that song for us. Y'all just listen to this song. Listen to the words. Okay. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? If you just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. We thank you that, Christ, you died for our sins, that you were buried, and that you were resurrected on the third day. According to the Scriptures, you fulfilled God's Word. Because of that, we have hope. We have life. Because you love us. Father, just convey that. If we don't get that, convey that to our hearts this morning. Father, that you're not this God that's waiting to zap us. In Jesus' name.